Good to see everybody. Got a full house today. We are glad that you are here with us. If you're a guest, thank you for being here. And we don't have the regular preacher today, and Chuck Morris, you have the irregular preacher. Or the regular youth minister, whichever you may wish to call it. I am thankful to have the opportunity to speak to you today. Before we get started into our lesson this morning, a couple of weeks ago, we had a couple of our young ladies that were baptized into Christ, Ava King and Mary Haddock, and Ava is here today. And Ava, if you'll come on up, we want to give you a Bible. We like to give all of our new Christians a Bible to start their walk with. And so, Ava, if you'll come on up, we want to have a word of prayer with you and congratulate you on your decision for this. This is a Bible for you. You got to use it. God kind of expects that. And this one has columns in it. You can write stuff in it too, notes and stuff. Not to your boyfriend. You write notes about God in here, okay? Let's have a word of prayer with Ava. Thank you, Lord, for Ava's decision to put you on, to have her sins washed away. We're thankful, Father, for her parents that have taught her the way. And Father, we're thankful for her walk that she now begins. Help us to walk with her. Help us, Father, to be a guide for her as she helps to guide us by being a light in her life. Thank you for your love and thank you for your son, Jesus. It's through his name we pray and amen. Thank you, Ava. All right. All right. Do this with me. You ready? Here we go. Wise man built his house upon the rock. Wise man built his house upon the rock. Wise man built his house upon the rock. And the rains came tumbling down. Oh, the rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. And the wise man's house stood firm. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. Foolish man built his house upon the sand. Foolish man built his house upon the sand. And the rains came tumbling down. Oh, the rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. And the foolish man's house went splat. Isn't that what we teach our children? You think about it with me for a second. We have the blessing of our life to teach our children. You have the blessing in your life to take the opportunity to build their foundation. From Matthew chapter 7, we're going to get to there in a second. But today we're going to talk a little bit about maybe some of these kids. This is going to be a little bit after, but this is them right now. There are 14 seniors that are graduating here from Spring Meadows this year. And I look out the audience right now, and I'm looking at you mamas and daddies, and they got big smiles on their face for one of two reasons. One, you're leaving home, or two, they're just happy. And so, but we're going to settle. We're going to do this. One of the things I think that's really interesting in raising your children, and it's not that many days. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 29, it says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, puts them into practice, is like a wise man who builds his house upon the rock. Rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had a foundation on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice, it's like a foolish man who builds his house on a sand. The rains came down, the streams rose, the winds blew. It beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." When Jesus had finished these sayings, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as teachers of the law. Maybe Jesus had common sense. Maybe Jesus knew what we needed rather than law. Maybe Jesus knew we needed to know more about the Father Where's your foundation built today? Now, where I'm thinking about in this is it's really, really easy to say, well, you're just talking to the seniors. No. I'm talking about everybody in this room. Because I'm wanting to know, is your foundation truly built on Jesus Christ? Is your foundation built on the Word of God? Is your foundation built on the love of God? We raise our children. I see my little one right there. We hold that baby in our arms and we sing, Jesus loves me, this I know. We sing that to our children when they're little. And they get up to be toddlers and we sing more songs with them. And we teach them in a song about foundation, but are we exemplifying that in our home? The family is so important. I cannot express this enough to you. And you're going to see in just a moment why I mean by this. Why it's important for moms and dads, grandmas, grandpas, aunts, uncles, brothers, and sisters to be a part of this wonderful family that we call the church. And to help to lay the foundation when they start there. A family has a child from birth to year 18, or think about it with me for a second, 6,570 days, or 157,680 hours. That seems like a lot of time, doesn't it? Well, maybe it is. Maybe you think it's a lot of time. In that, you need to understand this, and yes, that's small on purpose. It takes a village to raise a family. Moms and dads, you have an awesome responsibility, but we can't do it alone. That's why the Lord gave us His church. You see, the church is your family. And it is your village when it comes to laying the foundation for the love of God and the love of Jesus Christ, His Son. It is the church. And that church is built of some wonderful things. It's built with an eldership that loves every soul of children. It loves every soul of teenagers. It loves every soul of young adults and adults. And yes, those of us that are getting older. It's built with an eldership that prays for the family. It's built with members of the congregation who knows when you're having a hard time and they are there for you. Do you know in this time, if your child goes to school for 13 years, that's K through 12, that will be 2,340 days. And if they're based on 6 hours, let me go. I am not a mathematician. I tried to figure this out myself. I figure if you're a mathematician in this room, there's a word called grace. Please. 14,040 hours are roughly 99% of their life has been in school. If your child goes to church just for worship once a week for 52 hours a year, that's 936 hours in 18 years. If you double it, it's 1,872 hours. Or 2,800 hours if they go three times a week. That's just if they go to worship or Bible class. I'm not talking about the other activities. And guys, we can talk about other activities. We're not talking about garage on Monday night, CYC, pump day. But you know, we're not talking about, we're talking about if you just come to worship, and that's 1.7%. So the building the foundation from inside the church from worship classes, it's small. It's very small. Or it's only 117 days. Let me explain it to you a different way. Everybody's wondering what I've got canvassed up here, right? It's not Mount Rushmore. So I wondered how to do this. So I figured out the best way to do this is bring cheese balls. That's right. So, 22 containers of cheese balls are roughly 6,600 cheese balls. That's your child's life in 18 years. That's your child's life in 18 years. Now, I know some of you are thinking, I sure would like to have a cheese ball right now. I'm just glad the little ones are back in their class, or else they'd be running up here now. So if you go back and you look at some of those numbers again, if you said 2,340 days, based on that, you start taking them away of how much time they're in school, 600, 1,200, 1,800. I need one more. I told you my math's not good. 2,400. We're going to round up. That's how much time you guys have spent in school. That's the portion of life divided by the hours of 6 hours. Okay? Now then, if you average 6 hours of sleep per night, you get the same equivalency. Stay. Yeah. You get the same amount of time. Now, this is just sleep, okay? This is your sleep time. I know some of you don't sleep, like me. So you got school time, you've got sleep time. Stay. How much time do you have with your children? How much time do you have in their life? Oh, remember? I made a comment. 117 days. If you give your child 3 hours a week for God, 117 days out of 6,570 days, moms and dads, grandmas, grandpas, aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters, do you understand the vital importance it is just in this time alone of what we have to do to build the faith of our children that will take a lifetime? 117 days. Who are the ones that will help build this village? I see some grandparents here today. You've helped to build your grandchild's life. You've helped to build their faith in the Lord. I see aunts and uncles and cousins. You're the ones that do this. When I look to see who builds this village, I realize that it takes some mom and dad. Because you see, the scripture does say it is the mom and dad's responsibility. Mom and dad, you are responsible for everything in this. You're responsible for all of this time taking prayer at school. Well, you can be responsible for sleep. You can make them go to sleep. It's harder to wake them up. But you're responsible during this time. And you're responsible for the time that's left. You're responsible for the time that's left. What will you do with this time? And by the way, this doesn't even include things like sports. This doesn't include things like band. This doesn't include extracurricular activities that you take place in. But moms and dads, guess what? You're responsible for this time. But above all of this, we're responsible for the foundation of Jesus Christ being led through every bit of this. So they will not be led astray. Not only does it take moms and dads to be a part of this, it also takes a family. Deuteronomy chapter 6, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your might. And these words that I command to you shall totally be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And you will talk of them when you are in your home, when you walk by the way, when you're down and when you rise. You'll bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You'll write them down on the doorpost of your house and your gates." Our children need to know, just like all of us needs to know, that there is a God, that God is alive and God is living. He is not a God that's dead, and He is not a God that's absent. It is imperative that we begin this, because we are living in a world that wants to take all of this away. In Psalm 139, verse 14, "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well." We praise God for what He makes us and how He makes us, because we are all unique and special in our own different ways. We also look at Psalm 18, verse 2, and when we say that the Lord is my rock, we sang about it a lot. I hope you paid attention. "And He is my fortress, and He is my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge. And my shield and the horn of my salvation are my stronghold." Is that your God? Is that our God? Is that the God that you're using in your family? Be careful. Think seriously. Because I want this to be the God of our life. This is the God of our church. This is the God of our life that we live for each and every day. And it doesn't matter if we come in from the cradle to the grave. He is our God. In Isaiah 41 and verse 10, He says, "Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed." Why? "For I am your God." God is here with us. In the very room with us today, His presence is here. He's in the presence with us when we're outside of this room. When you're in school, when you're asleep, when you're living your daily part of life, our God is with us. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. But now thus saith the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, I've redeemed you. I've called you by my name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. Through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. The flame will not consume you. That's our God. Our God is forever with us. Our God is forever loving us. Our God is forever taking care of us. Our God never fails to leave us. And our families need to know that. And maybe it's time for us to look and say, is God what we just read? In Joshua chapter 1:9, he says, have I commanded you to be strong and courageous? Don't be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We need to teach that our God is with us wherever we go in our life. When the good things happen, when the bad things happen, God is there with us. Don't be afraid, because you can say, God is with me. But they need to see Jesus. That's why God sent His Son. God sent His Son to show a new way for us to live and to be drawn back home, close to Him. It was Jesus that said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And God said, that's why I sent Him. That's why we look at the importance of having other people around us. Yes, that's an older couple up there. Will, I'm not going to pick on you like that, like Tom does. They shouldn't pick on you like that. But we need our older people to be here, to be present in our children's lives. And I'm not talking just about grandmas and grandpas right now. I'm talking about every older person that's in this room. Please listen to me. I beg you as a youth minister, do not take yourself out of these young people's lives. They need you. They need to know the good thing that's happened in your life. They need to know the bad things that's happened in your life. They need to know and see the love of Jesus in your life. And that's why we need you to continue teaching. That's why we need you to continue praying. That's why we need you in these circumstances that we're going to influence not just today's world, but the generations to come. If you go back to the text and you look at the whole concept of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the way that families were led down with the Word of God, we are the same ones that lead that on to another generation. It would be really easy just to say, I quit. But that's not why God said this. Because you see, people need to see Jesus because of what God did when He says, for God so loved the world, that's every one of us, that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, we know that we're not going to be conformed to this world, but we're going to be transformed. How is people going to see that? Because when they look around us and they see those of us that have lived in the way of this world, that turned our life to Jesus and we transformed our life, making a different life, they want to do the same thing. It's about the renewing of the mind, that the testing that you may discern what the will is, the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Whatsoever you would that men should do you even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Or, as I learned it, Tom did too, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's teachings that's still viable today and always will be. How do you treat and how do you teach someone else? I'm going to ask Larry Arnold to come up here. Larry, I was talking to Larry about this, and there's a song that he found. He's not going to lead the song. He's going to read the words to us in this. If you don't mind, as we go on this journey with our children, listen to the words of the song.
The song was written by a man named John Moore. He wrote the lyrics for himself. And then later, a man named Steve Green popularized it about 30 years ago in a song. It's a song that I call kind of a picture song. You can close your eyes and listen to the words and draw pictures on the back of your eyelids, and I hope you'll do that. But it speaks to what Jerry's talking about. It speaks towards the thought that we're all influences in our lives, every one of us. And the decision for us is to whether to be a good influence or not. We're pilgrims on the journey of a narrow road, and those who've gone before us line the way, thinks Hebrews 12:1. Cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their lives a stirring testament of God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives. And after all our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind, may the clues that they uncover, or the clues that they discover, and the memories they uncover, become the light that leads them to the road we each must find. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we inspire, or the lives we live, inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful.
Surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. That's everyone in this room. We help to lay the foundation of the people around us. We're the ones that help them to know that they need to love God. They're the ones that need to see Jesus. And they need to see compassion. And they'll love. I can't think of a time when our Savior didn't show love through the worst of the worst and the best of the best. Our Savior has shown love. Some of the kids may recognize that one. That's at Short Mountain, by the way. Moms and dads, you teach love from the beginning. You teach them the love of your family. You teach them the love of friends. Let us continue to be teaching the love of the Savior. Because when we sing the song, Jesus Loves Me This I Know, it's not just a song to be mouthing the words. It's telling them that Jesus really loves you. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, the scripture says, we know for those who love God, all things work together for good. And those who are called according to His purpose. We have an opportunity to show love in everything that we do, wherever we may go. I love it here. I love the people in this room. And I love seeing the love that is shared with one another. from the high fives to the handshakes, to the simple phrase of I love you. That's what this church is about. That's why we build this foundation, not just for our smallest of children, not just for our teens, young adults, and adults. We build it for our family. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, for the moment of discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields a peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. All of us will go through some trials. And yes, some of us will even have people that will come to us and lovingly and gently and carefully will tell you, you need to change. And we need to be those people that are receptive of that type of love. We need to be the people that are willing to go to one another in our hardest of times and in the best of times and praise God and pray for one another, sharing our burdens with one another. Why? Because in the end of it, we know that when we have Jesus as a part of our life, when He is our rock, when He is our salvation, we know that there is not a thing in this world that can tear us down when Jesus is our rock. And we know that through Him, we can do all things. Why? Because He first loved us. That's why God sent Him. God sent Him here for us. And God wants us to follow and obey Him and do His will. Days. Parents, church, I hope you're starting, because this is not much time. And it's never too late to start. I was out at the Bridge retirement home teaching a Bible class recently. One of the ladies there has this big, thick German accent. She's from Germany, obviously. Came up to me and she says, what do I do about my son? I didn't teach him Jesus growing up. And I said, do you still talk to your son? Yes. Talk to him about Jesus now. You see, I don't have a cheese ball from 18 through the end of our life. I don't know where that goes, because all that's different ways. But I do know as a church, we've got about 117 days to lay some good, serious foundation. Kids will recognize this, and you should too. It's our theme for our youth group for this year. Jesus is my life. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. When Jesus is the family's life, when Jesus is the church's life, we will appear with Him in glory. But they've got to know that this is our life. It's not baseball. It's not band. It's not the other things in life, which are all great and wonderful. And those things can be done. Those things can be done. When Jesus is your life. But Jesus is the only one that gets us back home to the Father. Good looking bunch of kids. I sure love them. I love the foundation that has been built underneath these young people. Some of that was evident last week when four of them stood up here and preached. God is good. And I thank God for every one of you in this room who has helped to build this. But where's your foundation? I'm going to go to this side because they got babies over here. You got to start now. You've got to start right now. And if this is not part of your plan, you got to make it a part of your plan. Statistics of the world will tell you that they're not going to stay with the Lord. A high amount will not stay with the Lord. But they will if you will. And they will if you will teach them that the foundation is Jesus. And that love comes from God. How do you do it? Well, you look up. You pray to the Father. And you ask God, God, I know there's good things that happen in my life and bad things in my life, but I need you in my life. And as a family, you gather together and you pray to God and you pray through Jesus. And you say, I need you. I want you. And God, you lead our family. You look around. Would you do me a favor? Would you take just a few seconds and look around this auditorium? Look to the people that mean something to you. Young and old. Make eye contact. No, don't look at me. Look around. Look at the people that make a difference in your life. These are the ones that help that foundation solidify. Because everybody in this room loves God. Everybody in this room loves His Son, Jesus Christ. And everybody in this room wants our children to be faithful. And finally, look into your heart. You see, I can't read your heart. Only you can do that, and nobody else can read your heart. If there are changes you need to be making in your family, can I encourage you to do it? Maybe it's praying a little more. Maybe it's making sure that it's 117 days that you're here to study, to be with people that love you, to be with people that will lead you and guide you. If you need to make some changes, we're going to sing a song of invitation. And if you want to rededicate your family life, we want you to do that. Come tell an elder. Come tell me. Tell your next door neighbor. Tell your wife. Husbands, tell your wife. We're going to do better. Wives, tell your husbands. We're going to do better. Maybe you need to look at it and say, okay, I need to be better in looking down to the children and working with the children. They need you. Search your heart and make a change. If you're not a Christian, if you haven't been baptized into Christ to have your sins washed away, through your faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we already talked about that, understanding that you're separated with God and you need to repent of that sin to turn your life around, won't you turn your life around? Please? Have your sins washed away. Because God loves you. And God wants you to build your foundation upon Him. The Lord is waiting. We're down here to help you. If you need us, come as we stand and sing.